Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining me. Now, firstly, I feel like we need to clarify Spotify's sponsored songs proposition. Just how closely does this equate to payola?
I think it's fascinating, and you've alluded to the Alan Freed case from the sort of 50s and the origins of the record and radio business. And I think the difference is that they are being transparent about it. So they're saying, we are proposing that we will have this option to enable labels to sponsor songs. And that it's similar to payola, but it's different in the transparency that they're actually saying that they're doing that. Because if you hark back to the origins of the record business, you have this ability for graft and corruption on behalf of radio DJs and also labels. And if you trace the history of that through, basically it's related to the broadcast era and the fact that there used to be a scarcity of distribution outlets and abundance of audience attention. And if you could manipulate that distribution outlet, then you could receive airplay and have a hit song. And there were various ways in which that took place, and very disreputable behaviour took place with regard to using mafia contacts to influence radio DJs through literally threatening them with baseball bats, through to the practice of payola, which was really a non-transparent form of paying for airplay, just giving the radio DJ a brown paper bag full of money in exchange for play. That evolved in the 60s and 70s with the countercultural version of it involving radio pluggers from labels being sent out to radio stations with marijuana, LSD, and free merchandise, and it was a more subtle way of influencing airplay. So yes, it's certainly not a new practice, and it was made illegal post the Alan Freed era. And in terms of more contemporary practices, in say the UK, you actually need to pay a radio plugger to receive airplay, if that makes sense. So you have to pay a publicist who's specifically going into the radio station to receive or to have an audience with the decision maker and receive airplay. So in a way, it was payola disappeared as a corrupt practice, but then the need to have a radio plugger replaced it, and you had to pay someone to go in to have an audience with the label, so also the radio station.
Right. So, I mean, it's never really gone away. There's always been that monetary divide. Now, something that you mentioned was about the difference between now and the past, in that in the past there was high listener demand and very limited outlets for music. Now it seems like the places we get music from are essentially infinite. And Spotify, of course, is the big daddy. Now, over the last few years, we've seen some serious responses to issues of sort of covert track bumping on Beatport, I believe it happened. And we've seen sort of a similar backlash happening with this fake artists thing on Spotify. Now, are you able to talk a little bit about what's happened with that and what that all means implications-wise for the music industry?
Yeah, it's a fascinating allegation. I mean, Spotify are denying the allegation, and so it's part of a rumour mill at the moment that relates to the way in which they're allegedly deal-making with song producers directly for them to write music for various playlists, often, you know, a chill-out playlist or a exercise at the gym playlist and those sort of more generic playlists. And basically, the allegation is that rather than being able to pay royalties or having to pay royalties to the owner of the master copyright and also the song publisher or songwriter, they are paying a flat fee to the producer to produce the track, and then Spotify would then own the masters, the master copyright, which is the copyright in the actual recording itself. So they're denying it. They're basically saying, look, we're not a label. We don't own any master copyrights. Everything's licensed with labels. So It's interesting, though, because basically the argument is that they can then use that to leverage in negotiations with major labels in particular to get better deals. So they'd be able to own master copyrights and essentially be a label themselves, and that would put them in a better negotiating position. And technically, if they have an agreement with a song producer who is willing to work for a fee rather than a fee and what they'd call points, which is percentage of the royalty for the use of the music, there's nothing illegal with that to do with that, in the sense that you could structure a deal that's signed by both parties and is legally binding and makes sense, and then let Spotify becomes a record label. So it's an interesting one. It may just be Spotify spreading the rumor to help in negotiations with majors. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a very interesting prospect. I suppose with all of this, online streaming is a relatively new music distribution system. It doesn't look like we're anywhere near toppling the monopoly that Spotify does have over the music industry at the moment. And from what you're talking about, it seems like they're just digging their claws in even tighter. Do you think that with all of this and with the monopoly that Spotify is building, from a music management perspective, do you think that this is potentially somewhat dangerous to the music industry?
Yeah, it's an interesting proposition that they have that overarching monopoly. I think it's to do with their lack of profitability to date, and they're scratching around trying to find ways in which they can generate a larger profit and with a view to float on the stock market and these types of things. From the perspective of an artist manager, my take on the situation, as if I was to put my artist manager hat on, is just to think, well, I would do whatever's best for the artist. So from the artist's perspective, what is best? If I was managing a song producer, music producer, and Spotify offered a flat fee to produce a track for a generic playlist, and it made sense in that context, and it was a way to remunerate the client, then you could progress that deal. You know what I mean? So I guess the artist, in terms of artist management, it's much more on a case-by-case basis as to what would be best at that specific point in time for that particular artist. In terms of that macro perspective, looking at Spotify's monopoly, it is, I guess, a little bit like the book Animal Farm, in the case whereby the streaming service Spotify just becomes the world's largest major label if they do shift to owning master copyrights and have the leverage to do that, because they're sick of dealing with major labels. And that's a dramatic idea, simply because they would be able to do new deals from scratch that are not encumbered by the baggage of the old record label system and royalty structures and relationships with the majors. So that's, I guess, it could be an exciting proposition or a threatening proposition, depending on the position of the specific artist you're talking about. Nevertheless, it's certainly an interesting idea. But again, I'd reiterate that Spotify are denying it, and it's purely just a rumor and an allegation at this point as to whether they would become actually own master copyrights themselves.
Mm. Well, you mentioned it's an interesting thing from an artist's perspective. I think also as a music listener, it's continually been interesting watching how Spotify has shaped, and streaming has shaped, the way that we do consume music. And now we're seeing albums released as playlists. And it's going to be very interesting to see where all of this goes in the future, for the worse for the better or for the worse. Guy, thanks so much for joining me this morning to give us some food for thought.
No worries. Thanks for having me.